Boy, we do a lot of praying in this church, don't we? And it's a good thing. I like praying. I like talking to God. It's a privilege for me. And every time I've been here, I've said, I need you to pray with me, for me, as we're looking into God's Word. So would you do that again tonight? Just bow your heads. And see, when I pray, just like I told the kids, I'm representing all of us to God. So if I say something that makes sense to you, then I would ask that you agree with me. Say to God, I agree. You can say amen. You know, that's the biblical word to use when you agree, to say amen. You can, you know, the boldness of this church, you can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. Let's go to God. Father, what a privilege it is to live here in this country and in this province. And Father, it is wonderful that we can come to you, sing to you, sing praises that we enjoy, tap our toes, clap our hands, get a smile on our face from good music. Father, I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word tonight. And Father, I ask that you would send your son to stand in this man, that as I speak what's on my heart, that it be exactly the words that you want all of us to hear. And Father, I ask for the courage to act upon your word tonight. In Jesus' name, with thanksgiving, amen. Thanks, folks. Some new faces tonight I didn't recognize. The new faces were timid in taking the food in the line. I don't know if you noticed that. If you've been here more than twice, you load up. I have a couple of pieces of sausage in my pocket here, and I never know. And a knife to cut them. That's good sausage. Somebody told me that Terry brought it. And is it Mondaire sausage? Does anybody know? Is it? Stanecci's, eh? Man, that's good sausage. I'm not sure that was biblical or anything. It's just that it's really good sausage. So, for those of you who don't know me, who haven't seen my ugly mug before, my name's Don Waddell, and Colleen and I, my beautiful bride, of 26 years. She says it feels like 62 years, but it's really only 26 years. We live between Camrose and Stettler, and east of the little town of Meeting Creek. We ranch there, and in my life, I've been blessed that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 23. And I honestly believe that that is the most important thing in my life, is my relationship with God. Second most important is my relationship with Colleen. But my relationship with Colleen is based on my relationship with God. And I'm just a cowboy with a Bible. I believe that the Word of God that was written down was inspired by God. Men wrote it, but it applies to me and it applies to you every day. If you didn't believe in God, you didn't believe that Jesus was his son, if you didn't believe that he paid the price for us, but if you just followed the directions in here, what a wonderful world this would be. It would be amazing. There'd be no crime. There'd be no, you know, a little girl wouldn't ask, can I use a pocket knife to protect myself? It's sad. You know, there wouldn't be any need for it. But it's much more than that, this Word of God. It's the owner's manual for us, but it's known as the living Word because as we read it, more and more, you can read a passage that you've read or heard it preached on 1,000 times, and this time you'll get a new, different, better, stronger meaning of it. It's just a wonderful book. Those of you who have been here before when I'm here, it was wonderful. Always gives the preacher pleasure when you say Ephesians 5, you hear the paper going as you find it. I've been guest preaching in some churches when I say, if you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5, there's not a rustle. That's a scary thing. For me, your job is to not only to have it and to read it here and at home, but you need to check up on what the preacher's saying. You can't be going to a church and not have a Bible with you. If you don't have a Bible with you, that means you've never been to church before. If you don't have a Bible and a piece of paper and a pen, that means this is your second time in church. It's good to check up. Last time I was here, we preached on Ephesians 4, and we're going on to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to go through a few verses and skip some and sort of where God leads me, I think. But it's important to have that at hand. They claim that one of the greatest forms of flattery is imitation. That people imitate those who they care about or they want to be like, or you'll see products that will imitate a really good product, somebody else will imitate it, trying to jump on the wagon. And we've probably all seen the pictures. Colleen and I never had kids. We were not blessed with children. We raised tomatoes and dogs. Because the tomatoes smell like kids do sometimes. You know how the tomato plant has that smell? And dogs will test you like a child will. But we are familiar with kids. We have lots of them in and around. And of course, for us, it's great because we give them red juice and a lot of sugar and then give them back to whoever they belong to. It's pretty fun. Pretty fun for us. But you've probably seen the picture, maybe you've experienced it, where dad is sitting at the table and he's got his chin cupped in his hand and his son does the same thing. Maybe you've seen that happen. You've seen it. The kid is imitating dad. Sad, and I was very saddened by it. A friend told me a few months ago that the son of a single mother received for Christmas a shaving kit, you know, a kid's toy shaving kit. And when the mother went to the bathroom a time later, let's say a month, 6 weeks later, her son was in the tub shaving his legs. And that's funny, isn't it? But it's very sad. It's very sad that that's all the knowledge that that boy had. But imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And we as believers in Christ, those of us that believe, I'll back up just a second because I'm not sure where everybody's at in their faith, if you have any faith. Well, I guess everybody has faith. Some of it's little and some of it's big. Some of you have a good relationship with God. Some of you have a poor relationship with God. But we all have a relationship with God. We're told, the guy that wrote this book, Ephesians, just quickly filling in some blanks for some people. It's called Ephesians because it was written to the people at Ephesus. And I think I told you this last time. You know, they're Ephesians because they live in Ephesus, and people who live in Corinth are Corinthians. So we think that, you know, 7 miles from our place is the town of Meeting Creek. So they would be Meeting Creekians, I guess. But that's Paul, an apostle, a guy that teaches about God, who in fact hated God at first and was trying to put down all the Christians. But in chapter 5, he writes, verse 1, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. We're the kids. We believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, rose on the third day, paid the price, paid the victory, had the victory over death. So we're God's children. We're told in Scripture all over the place, but we're told I'd be happy to give you lots of verses and stuff if you want to write them down sometime. But if whoever believes in God, in Jesus Christ, his Son, shall not die but have everlasting life. Big impact on me at 23. Had lots of health issues. I knew the body was going to give up, but I wanted to live forever. And I thought heaven would be a better place to do it than the alternative, which I think is hell. And I don't want to be there. And as a child of Christ, as a child of my heavenly Father, and the teacher, Jesus Christ, Paul says to me, Don, imitate God in everything you do. I can't do it because I'm human. At the end of my best day, I'm a wretched, wretched sinner, saved by grace, saved by the grace of God. But as a child, I should attempt to imitate God. And you, as a child of God, should attempt to imitate God. If you're not a believer, you should attempt to imitate God. Just for your family group, just for your workplace, just for your society, to imitate God. If everybody imitated the devil or imitated wickedness, Meeting Creek would be a hostile place to visit. It's kind of tough now because it's full of Swedes and I'm half Norwegian. I have to get a permit to go in there. But anybody, but especially believers, because we are the children of God, we should imitate him. We should imitate him. Verse 2, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasant aroma to God. I was confused by that for a long time. I realized I should, the example of Christ is a great one. If you read the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the New Testament, you will know what Christ was like. It's a great description of his life and what he did and how he did it. And if we could all be that way, it'd be wonderful. Especially as a child of God, I should do that. He is an example, and he offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasant aroma to God. What in the world? Well, in the days, and in some areas of the world, they still use incense in religious ceremonies. And the sacrifice of incense is used. And so that we can understand it, and so the people 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this, it's a pleasant aroma to God, that sacrifice, that incense, that smell. And it is. For those of you who haven't been here before, I never go on more than 3.5 hours. So, just thought I'd let you know right off the bat. I'm joking. Honest. Paul is kind of known as the guy that is the do's and don'ts. He tells you what to do and what not to do. And this Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5, a lot of people that aren't Christians, that those that don't believe in God, feel that we can't have any fun as Christians. It's not true at all. We have a jag of fun. We have a lot of fun. I have fun all the time. But I think it's because of some of this. And yet, this next verse, people have trouble with it. And yet it makes so much sense just for society, just for people. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people? None. It's interesting that sexual immorality and impurity and greed are sort of mentioned in the one sentence. They're, you know, you almost put them on the same level. But greed encompasses so many more things. But as believers in God, as believers in Christ, there should be none of those sins should be here amongst us. None of them should be amongst people, whether they believe or not, just to make a nice society, but especially amongst us. You see, the thing is, folks, what I preached on last time, which I think you can still get off the website, and this time, we as Christians, we as believers in God, believers in Jesus Christ, believers in the Holy Spirit, it's time that people knew we were different. We don't want to fit into society. We want to be different. We want to be completely different. Next, verse 4. Listen now. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. These are not for you. Boy, I can tell you some jokes. I mean, I cowboyed for a living. I can tell you obscene stories. I can tell you dirty jokes. I might have mentioned before, I can just tell you stories about cowboying and make your hair fall out, but I know that some of you here have heard them already. I can see that from here, in fact. But for us as believers, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. See, instead of focusing on, well, that joke reminds me of this one, and if I told you this one, we should pull ourselves away from that and be thankful to God. I'm the pastor of the Cowboy Church, Heartland Cowboy Church in Stettler. We meet Tuesdays. We do the same thing, prayer. Every time I say, is anybody thankful for anything? Anybody thankful for the vehicle they came here in, or the fuel to put in it, or the food that they ate, or the food that we just participated in, or the nice warm bed that you sleep in and the roof over your head? Anybody thankful for that? Yes. Not in Stettler. We ask for this. We ask. And we should, because we are told to ask. But we are also told to be thankful. I would encourage you in your own prayer life that equal amounts of asking and thankfulness. Every prayer is answered by God. It may not be what you want, but it's answered. And you need to be thankful for all good things, because every good and perfect gift comes from God. I only have 8 more sheets. I'm kidding. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm legally blind. So I have big, you know, I could just come and hold these up. And they're just verses out of the Bible. But I carry the Bible with me. And I've told you this before, that these glasses here, they're 8 diopter, which I wear in here to help things. And I can read out of the scripture, out of the Bible. And you will never see me wearing them outside, because my greatest fear is if I ever forgot and put them there and went outside during the day, my mustache would catch on fire. Maybe that's foolish talk. I was just told not to. Verse 5. verse 5. This is a tough one. This is a tough verse. Because if you don't believe in Christ right now, if you don't believe in him, then this is a scary verse. Paul says, and being as I'm preaching, I guess I say, you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. If you're greedy, you want more and more stuff. You want more and more cars. You want more and more whatever it is. You want more and more dirty jokes. You want more and more impure photographs. You want more and more whatever. You're starting to worship that stuff instead of worshiping God. And for the good of you, for the good of your spouse, for the good of your kids, for the good of your grandkids, for the good of your household, your block on your street, your acreage, whatever it is, don't do it. You can be sure that if you are impure, immoral, greedy, worshiping other stuff, you won't make it into the kingdom of God. You will not spend eternity in heaven because you're focused on the wrong thing. And we as Christians, when we start to slide to looking at the paper of the sun, if you slide there, you'll slide someplace else. I'm using that as an example. We have to be different. We as Christians, we as believers, we have to be different so people will see in us the things that are different. Getting down to the last sheet. I'm going to go to verse 8, folks. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So let us be people of light. Hey, let's others see in each other. Let the guy at Safeways, let the lady at 7-Eleven, in the dog park, at work, let them see the light. Only because of God. Only because of God, people have come up to me and said, you have something I don't have, and I want to know what it is. And I can say, I know exactly what it is. I know what it is that I have that you don't have. And that's the love of God. That's a belief in Jesus Christ. And he is living in me, guiding me, directing me, pulling me, pushing me. And I praise the Lord that I'm enough of a servant that people can see that in me. Not always, because I'm a human. And the devil has pull on me and works on me constantly. But I've had it happen. I've had it excitingly happen to me that I can say, I know exactly what it is. I know what's different about me. And all of us, as children of God, as servants of God, we need to be filled with that light. Get the darkness out, full of light, and live like that. I think I've said it here before. I mean, I've been here for years now, it seems like. But have you ever been in a cave? Any of you ever go down on a cave, the big ones in Tennessee or the ones in our Rocky Mountains? You get down there with spelunking, if you want to be very specific on the term, and you shut your lights off. And it is dark. Whoo, man, is it dark. I mean, literally, you can place your hand on your nose and you can't see it. It is that dark. And you sit there for quite a while trying to get your eyes to adjust. No matter how long you sit there, they will not adjust to the dark. It's that dark. It's that full of darkness. And yet if a person lights a match, a little match, no matter how much darkness there is, it cannot hide the light. Can't. You were full of darkness, but now you're full of light, the light of the Lord. So let us live as people of light. Verse 9, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Good and right and true. Let the light in you work. Take the shade off. Let the blinds up. Use that light. Visually impaired as I am at night in our house, we have night lights everywhere. Little blue ones, white ones, yellow ones, whatever we can buy on sale. Kidding. They're everywhere at night. I can make my way around the house without them, but what an assurance they are when you're around the corner on the way to the bathroom and there's that little glow that means I can find the bathroom. I don't have to worry about going out on the porch. That light, that guiding light, that wonderful light is in us for others to see that they too can be guided. See, our job as children of God is to bring more children into God's family. That's our job. We don't like to, as humans. We like to sit back and take. We like to just sit there and take whatever we can get from God. Ask Him for everything. Say, oh yeah, you bet everything good's from God. Yeah. I'd like a little more of that. I'd like a little bit more of that. But we're told constantly we have to let the light shine, bring others in. The Great Commission in Matthew, go ye into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say stay home and wait for them to come to you and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It means go. It's an action. We have to do it. So this coming week, when you're about to tell that joke, when you're about to use that cuss word, when you're about to worship something different, stop. Let the rooster crow in the back of your head. Remember to imitate God. You know, I come here at this cowboy church, and I'm not sure, I'm trying to be very nice about this, I'm not sure how many of you know which end of a cow gets up first. When they're laying down, chewing their cud, maybe you don't know what chewing their cud is either, but do you know which end gets up first? The back. Now you got a horse laying there. Which end of the horse gets up first? The front. It's a good question to ask somebody. We kind of grin, you know. In my younger days, worked on ranches and did a little rodeo as well. I soon figured out it was way more fun to feed hay to a bull in the winter than to scratch my pockets on his back. But rode bareback horses and saddle broncs a little bit. But we would go to the Calgary Stampede. Great, I mean, what a deal, man. The whole city, everybody. And you see these folks, they got their hats on backwards. And they got brand spanking new blue jeans. This is before they washed them, before you bought them. They're as hard as tin. And a pair of boots that they bought a day and a half ago. And they're walking for 11 miles on cement at the Calgary Stampede. And I always marveled at their toughness. I thought I was pretty tough, but anybody that could wear the skin off of their thighs and their knees with jeans and make their feet bleed and blister up with those boots and have their hat on backwards, they're imitating the cowboy. There's something about the cowboy they like, but they're not doing a very good job. There's something that we really like about God. We like everything about God. It makes sense. It's wonderful. We enjoy the love. We can feel the love. We can feel the acceptance. We can feel the forgiveness of sin. Oh, man, is that ever nice when you say, thank you, Jesus, for bearing the burden. I want to be redeemed. I want my sin to be washed away and the feeling to have that sin go. But what kind of a job are we doing imitating them? I need you to think about it. And I need you to pray about it. I need you to take action about it this week. To imitate God. I don't know what he looks like. I'll bet anything he doesn't look like me, though. 5'6" in every direction. I look like him. I was made in his image. Worship God this week. Imitate him. Get rid of the foul language, as we in chapter 4. Get rid of the dirty jokes. Get rid of the obscene, foolish talk. And instead, focus on the light that's in you. Live your life like people of light. And do it with thankfulness. Amen.